Welcome to The Vampire Squid, a podcast about increasing transparency and education in finance. This is your host, Alan Lee, and welcome to episode 37 of The Vampire Squid. This is definitely a very crazy week for me, and I'm sure it was for many of you, but I hope everyone is staying strong and staying safe. But today's episode, we're going to be covering the GMAT. And I thought this was a good follow-up to last week's episode since we covered what it was like in business school and on Alex's new podcast, The Virtual MBA. So I got quite a few follow-up emails about what it was like taking the GMAT, what the process was, how I studied for it. So I thought today's episode would be useful to cover the GMAT and go a little bit deeper into the test. So the way I want to cover today's episode is to give a brief background of what the GMAT is. Then I'll go into how I actually studied for the test, and then I'll leave you all with some tips that I thought would be useful and tips that I wish I had known before I started studying. So the GMAT is the Graduate Management Admissions Test. It's basically the SAT of business school. And business schools all accept the GMAT. And some business schools actually accept the GRE now, but that's on a unrelated subject. So the GMAT has four sections: the writing section, which most of you all are familiar, which is testing your ability to write and form an analysis or form an argument and convey that eloquently on paper. There's also a section called the integrative reasoning section. This isn't on the SAT, and this is filled with tables and charts and graphs, and it tests your ability to interpret this data and synthesize analysis or conclusions from the data. And then you have the most important sections, the quantitative and the verbal. And the quantitative is your typical math questions, and verbal is your typical sentence correction, reading comprehension, critical reasoning section. So I won't go into specific problems or methods on specific categories within the GMAT, because I think there's a lot of great resources out there. But that is a brief overview of what is on the test. So the test is also taken on a computer, and it is an adaptive test. And what that means is, as you get questions correct, the test feeds you questions that are harder. So at the end of the test, you'll start usually hovering around a certain score. So say you were getting all the questions that were around 650 correct, and you were missing the ones at 670. So your score would likely be somewhere in between there, maybe a 660. And the score is out of 800. So you get 800 on your verbal, and you get 800 on your quantitative section. And those two scores combined together give your overall score that is also out of 800. And for the integrative reasoning test, that score is out of 8. But most colleges still don't necessarily use the integrative reasoning section as a indicator of success in business school, because there's still quite a bit of people that haven't even taken the integrative reasoning test, because I think it was introduced not too long ago. So they can't use it as a benchmark to evaluate all candidates that are applying for business school yet. And the writing section is out of 6. So usually the test starts with the writing section first, and then the integrative reasoning, and then the quant, and then the verbal. So as I mentioned previously, since the integrated reasoning section isn't used to evaluate candidates as strictly currently, that's not to say don't focus on it, but if you were to split your brain power, it shouldn't be 25%, 25%, 25%, 25%. It should be skewed a little bit towards the end of the test on the quant and the verbal section, because those are the most important for your overall score and what colleges would look at. So in terms of taking the test, I took it personally in my senior year of college, and I think that a lot of people do this, and I highly recommend it if your course load isn't too hectic, because you're still in the studying mindset. It's not too difficult to just study for, think of it as another test or another class, studying for the GMAT. Once you're out of work and you start your job in finance or in consulting or in tech or accounting, what have you, you get out of the studying mode, and I've heard from a lot of my friends that it's actually quite difficult to get back into sitting down on the weekends or at nights and opening a book and doing practice problems. But if you haven't taken it in college and you've already graduated, I know that a lot of people take it usually in the second year of their first job, usually when things slow down a little bit and when they're considering applying maybe the next year or a couple years after. In terms of how I studied for the test, so first I would say that usually people allocate anywhere between 1 to 3 months to study for the test. Obviously, if you're a really good test taker, people can study for it within a couple weeks. But if you have a little bit more difficulty taking tests, then it skews a little bit on the longer end, a couple months or even more. So what I first did was I took one of the free GMAC practice tests. And the GMAC, G-M-A-C, is the official website for the GMAT. And they give everybody 2 free GMAT tests. And this is the gold standard for similarity to the actual score you'll get on the real GMAT. So what you get on the practice test from the GMAC is a very good indicator of how you'll score on the real test. And the reason I took the first practice test cold was because I wanted to establish a baseline score. And you basically shouldn't study at all before you take the test. Maybe review a couple concepts and, you know, understand the format of the test, but don't really study at all and take the first free GMAT test to establish your baseline score, because then you know all you can really do is move up from here. And also, since they have 2 free tests, there's also 2 additional tests that you can purchase for, I believe it was around $39, $40, in case you want to get a few more reads or get a few more reps in before you actually take the real test and see what range you're scoring in. So when you take the first GMAT test, don't be discouraged. I know I was fairly discouraged because I scored fairly low on it, and some of my friends had scored a 750 or a 760, which is already in the 99th percentile the first time they ever took the test. So I was thinking, you know, how's this possible? How are they doing so well when they never studied for the test? And, you know, I'm scoring in the 500s. You know, what happened? So don't be discouraged. People have different strengths. They have different experiences as well. So it turns out, you know, one of my friends did Math Olympics when he was in high school. So on the math section, he was scoring, I think, in the 99th percentile because, you know, of all the Olympics that he did in math in high school were obviously very helpful. But key is, don't be discouraged and take one of the first tests from the GMAC website cold to establish your baseline score. And then next, what I did was I used a few resources. So I used Manhattan GMAT, and they have a set of, I believe, 10 or 12 books that cover all the basic concepts of the GMAT. And I just borrowed these from a friend, but I used those to review the basic concepts that were reviewed on the test. And I also purchased the practice exams that the Manhattan GMAT offered. And these practice exams were pretty good. And they give you very detailed explanations of the problems that you missed, the specific concept it's testing, so that you can get a very granular read of areas that you need to work on and improve. The next resource I used that was very, very good was called Veritas Prep. And Veritas Prep, when I used it, was actually free. And I don't know if it still is, but it might be. So I downloaded the application onto my iPhone and my iPad, and they have this set of, I believe, 10 or 12 videos that explain the methodology behind answering certain questions or certain portions of the GMAT. And I was scoring really low in my verbal section. And after I watched a few of these videos, it was almost an overnight change in my score, a dramatic change in my score. Caveat, I had been studying for a few weeks prior to that, mainly focusing on my verbal, but after I watched the video and after I learned some of the methodology of what to do and how to think and structure some of the problems and recognize some of the patterns, it sort of clicked for me. And, you know, it might not necessarily click for you watching the Veritas Prep video. It might be watching another video. This is not to say it's a substitute for hard work, because I think it was necessary that I had studied quite a bit for the verbal section on my own. And then just a slight change in my strategy was all I needed to get to the next level. And also on the Manhattan GMAT test, don't be discouraged about your score on those, because these tests are usually a little bit harder than the actual exam. So if you're scoring lower than you are on your GMAC test, don't be discouraged, because these tests are a little bit harder. So those are the resources I use for strictly studying. And I didn't take a class, but I know that a lot of people do take classes. And if you do take a class, I think it's very beneficial, especially if you're the type that finds it hard to carve out some time, or if you're not very disciplined about studying, taking a class might be very helpful. But I studied for about a month and a half to 2 months on my own, and this was during my second semester of senior year. So I didn't have too many classes. I had a decent amount of time, and I was fairly focused on, you know, doing well and studying for the test. And also, some of the other resources I use that weren't tailored specifically to studying were online forums. And there's a lot of online forums that pertain to the GMAT. There's a thing called GMAT Hacks and GMAT Club. And it's basically a forum for test takers to talk about their experiences on the test and to provide tips and tricks. And, you know, I think these are a great platform to read about, you know, motivational stories and get some strategies and get some tips. The caveat is, you don't want to be browsing these sites endlessly and detracting from your actual study. It's good to see a story about, you know, some person that was scoring in the 400s, but after, you know, 4 months of hardcore studying, they scored a 780. And, you know, these stories are very uplifting. It makes you feel good. But I would limit the amount of time you spend on these sites, because, you know, then you're detracting from your actual study time. But they are helpful if you need a little boost, or if you want to check out some strategies and tips by, you know, people that are currently going through the test, which I found was a nice occasional touch to the studying. So I used the Manhattan GMAT books, purchased the online tests, and I think they give you 10 tests, and I used the Veritas Prep videos, and that's all the resources that I used for studying for the GMAT. Okay, so now on to some tips that I found were very helpful to me and things that I wish I had known before I started studying for the test. So the first tip is, on the GMAT tests, make sure to get the first 10 or so problems right. And the reason that you want to get the first 10 right is because the system is trying to establish a baseline for you as a candidate. So they'll start off giving you very easy questions. They'll give you a question that is at a level of 500. Then they'll give you one that's at 550. Then one at 650. Then one at 700. Then, you know, so on and so forth. So if you miss questions early on, it will cause the system to think that you might be hitting your peak at a question that isn't necessarily representative of your capabilities. So make sure to focus on getting the first 10 correct, and, you know, not making silly mistakes, taking the extra time to make sure the first 10 are correct, because a problem missed on the first 10 is going to be more impactful than a problem missed on the last 10. On taking practice exams. So I took about 2 practice exams every week, and the key to taking practice exams is you want to replicate the environment to be as identical as possible. So the test is around 3.5 hours, and with breaks, it's, you know, close to 4 hours. You always want to do the writing section and integrative reasoning section before you do the quant and verbal. I know a lot of people just only do quant and verbal because they don't think the reading and integrative reasoning section is important. But I would highly recommend you take the format almost as identical to as you would taking it in the test center. The reason is because you want to practice like you would play. So for the people that only take the verbal and the quant, and then on the day of the test, they have to do the writing and the integrated reasoning, they might get tired, and then the score that they're usually scoring may not be representative. Some people also take breaks in between and, you know, get lunch after taking one section and then come back and take the other. The key is just to replicate the environment as much as possible. Wear the same clothes that you would wear, bring the snack that you would eat at the test, take the recommended breaks, and replicate the environment as closely as possible. And this was a tip given to me by a friend, and I found that it was very helpful when I went to the test center, because I had gone through the same habits and taking it at the test center didn't feel any different than taking it at the school library where I was practicing. The next tip is to schedule the test fairly early on. I would say within a few weeks of studying, you should start setting the test date, because a lot of people drag out the test. And I know a lot of people that actually haven't even taken the test who've studied quite a bit of time for it. But if you have a deadline and you set the test for 1 month later, now you know that, you know, you have to take the test, and you'll study more diligently, and you'll be more focused and tailored in your studying habits, which is very helpful if you know that the test is coming up. And, you know, at the end, you know, if you're still not ready, you can always change the test within, if it's outside of 7 days. So I'd recommend taking a practice exam, you know, on the 8th day before the test and seeing if you're scoring in the range. And it only costs $50 to change the test. If you're not really ready, you still have that optionality, but it's always good to have the test date set so that you know you're working towards something. The next tip that I had was on the math section. And I think this is especially true for people taking the tests, you know, in the United States. The math section is notoriously difficult, but I think it's helpful to provide context of why it might be. The reason is because a lot of students take the GMAT that are outside of the United States, in Asian countries, where the math curriculum is usually much more rigorous than in the United States. So they sort of skew the curve. So that's why don't be discouraged if you're scoring lower on the math. I always find it's helpful context to understand, you know, why things are happening. That's not to say that you can't score high on the math, but it might just take a little bit more time. And the final tip I would offer is to pick the brains of your friends that are scoring well on the test. I found this very helpful to ask my friends that were scoring, you know, in the high 700s of, you know, how they thought about certain problems and questions and how they approached them. What was their strategy down to the very detail? You know, did they eliminate answers? Did they think of the answer before they read the answers? Did they predict it? Down to the detail of how people who are doing well on the tests are approaching the problems. And I found very useful tips after speaking to friends. And I think that, you know, you guys will too after speaking to your friends that are doing well. So I hope that was helpful in terms of a brief overview of how I went about and studied for the tests, as well as some of the tips that I thought were useful and things that I wish I had known before I started studying for the test. But, you know, if you are taking the test, I wish you the best of luck. It is definitely a process, but I think it will be worth it at the end, especially if you're thinking about going to business school. So until next time, I'll see you on the next episode, and ciao.